It's got a death curse.
So it's bothering me like me.
And then who locked you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
This movie is on everybody's top 10 list of last year.
Very committed to the monster theory.
That's an understatement.
William Friedkin has said that this is the most frightening film he's ever seen.
He spent more time looking at the black trying to see what in the fuck might be hiding in there.
Right.
Do you want to die?
I went from zero to hating this kid in 5 minutes. You know, by the end of the movie, I'm rooting for this kid.
Yeah.
You're trespassing in my house! If you touch my son again, I'll fucking kill you!
My friends, we welcome you back to the Horror 101 show. Last time you asked for something newer, so we went back to 2012. We decided to keep the momentum going this time, and we're only going back to just last year. There's a film that came out of Australia recently that we simply cannot ignore. It's been a fan favorite ever since its release, and it really took us by surprise. At first, we thought it was just another monster film, but it is much more than that. All the stops were pulled to give us a terrifying tale of survival. And for this reason, we're focusing our 43rd show on Jennifer Kent's directorial debut called The Babadook. But before we get started, there was some bad news in the horror community recently. Betsy Palmer passed away at the age of 88.
I'm Mrs. Voorhees, an old friend of the Christies.
And I just learned about this yesterday. Mrs. Voorhees is dead.
Yep.
When she made Friday the 13th in 1980, she was quoted as saying that this movie's a piece of shit, this is garbage, nobody's going to come to see this. The only reason she took the job was A, she wanted money for a new car, and B, apparently she was the only one that they could find in the area that had her own transportation to the set, because Friday the 13th was shoestring budget.
Yeah.
Did you know that a young boy drowned the year before those two others were killed? The counselors weren't paying any attention. They were making love while that young boy drowned. His name was Jason.
In the end, she was proud of it and she was happy that she did it. But in the beginning, she was just in this shitty fucking movie that nobody wanted to see. And I wish I was there to have that conversation with her then. Just give it a few years. I'll remember you said that. Here's a tip. Ask for a lot of money when they want you to come back for the sequel, okay?
Jason, Mother is talking to you.
She was on a flashback, wasn't she?
She was, remember when Jenny put her sweater on and played the mind game with him? That was a great move.
Yeah.
Fucking with his mind just long enough to put the axe down on him, but she moved out of the way and he could see the head. He snapped out of it right at the end. That was great writing.
That's a good boy. Good Jason.
Really good writing.
What would you get to have that sweater?
Nothing, man. That putrid fucking thing. No way. So yeah, I don't know what she died of. I don't know if it was just old age. I mean, 88's old.
That's up there. How old's Angus Scrimm now? He's 84?
Angus Scrimm's not going to be around very much longer.
No.
And I have a feeling the next horror person to go will probably be Christopher Lee. Unless the fucker 90s. Is a vampire. unless he is Dracula and he's just kind of like applying makeup to look older as time goes on, and then he'll disappear for 50 years and nobody know who the fuck he is, and he'll come back as the young version, kind of like a Dorian Gray might.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think we should wait for Mr. Christie.
That's not necessary.
I don't understand.
Mr. Christie's dead, bitch. Run for your life. She's crazy. She means to kill you. Get out.
Thank you.
So, Babadook, okay? You know what? I agreed to Babadook for two reasons. One, you loved it and really wanted to do a show about it. Two, you haven't seen it, so we get a fresh perspective. Yeah. Nude seen it. Nude enjoyed it with us.
Yeah.
But when we watched it, I turned it right the fuck up, and I turned all the lights off. So we were like immersed in darkness.
We can do that.
And we will. And the sound production to it was great. Like things beautiful all over the stuff. Place, and we didn't really know exactly what was going on.
There's such a great mix of all the best things in horror that I enjoy personally. It has a great telling of the tale. The whole movie is based around this tale, right? It has a fantastic villain. It's also something of a descent into madness picture. And it also touches on that other element of the potential dangerous child in horror that we looked at with Sweet Alice.
Yes. This movie is on everybody's top 10 list of last year. 2014. You find any top 10 list of horror movies in 2014, and I guarantee you Babadook is usually on the top 3.
Yeah.
It's most of the time it's number 1.
On the poster for the movie and in the trailer, they mentioned that William Friedkin has said that this is the most frightening film he's ever seen.
Yeah, when the director of The Exorcist gives you a plug like that, it's usually good news.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's
That's pretty good.
It's not bad, you know.
It's like Stephen King calling somebody the new face of horror, you know.
But not everyone is in agreement. I find this film to be very polarizing. Either you love it or you hate it. There have been people who have publicly said this is a piece of shit. They don't understand. They don't like the ending. They don't understand what the story is about. They think it's not scary at all. I disagree.
See, I like the film. The film was about 3.5 stars for me until it got to the ending, and the ending sold the movie for me because it put the exclamation point at the end of that sentence. Because then it, you know, they pull the curtain back what the movie's actually about, and it's not just a horror film. There is a message there, and there's a point of view that they want you to see. And I thought for giving us something more than just they survived, I thought elevated it beyond your typical horror film.
Have you heard of anything about this film at all there?
Trying to avoid as much as possible.
Yeah, you've been avoiding the spoilers and all that shit?
I'm aware of the name of the movie, and that there's a mother and a child, and a monster.
And a book.
And a book.
Well, now I know there's a book.
Oh, that's in the trailer. The book's
Thanks
in the
for
trailer.
Ruining that for me. You did I've watched the trailer.
Well, okay, fine then.
So yeah, we can't really say much more. Well, there will be much to discuss after
My virgin film. Ears.
The two main characters in this film are Amelia and her little boy Sam, both living together in this very modest, almost dreary home. Right off the bat, you get the feeling like this kid is a handful. He's constantly waking his mother up to check for monsters, he has a penchant for destroying the house, he never shuts up, and within 5 minutes of the film, I found myself newly reassured that the fact that I decided not to have children was probably an excellent choice.
What have you done?
It's not broken. It just slipped.
Don't want you firing things off in the house
wait,
anymore.
Wait, watch this.
Please don't.
Little sidebar though. Creepiest fucking kid ever.
Yeah, that's up there.
Yeah, he's got like the big mouth. He's got like the big like dark eyes and just like in shadow. He almost looked like a monster himself.
Yeah, he has the Cenobite eyes. You know, like pitch black, big pupil.
He's got like, he has a kind of Charlie Bucket quality about him, doesn't he?
The beginning of the movie, I think this kid is like autistic.
Right.
Or idiot savant. You know what I mean? Like he's not quite right.
Mom! Mom! I'm gonna smash its head! Mom, I'm gonna smash it!
We find out that Sam's father was killed in a car accident the night he was born, and for the last few years, Amelia has been dealing with this loss and trying her best to raise this troubled child, and the strain of it all, now that Sam is about to turn 7, is beginning to become a little overwhelming. His mom has this kid that's a handful. She's lonely, she's depressed, she's doing her best to raise this kid and have a proper home and all that shit. It's easy to champion that persona, you know? And it's just like, holy fuck, kid, give your mom a rest, you know?
Her own family doesn't even want to talk to her because this kid's just so off the wall.
It'll be 7 years. Isn't it time you moved on?
I have moved on. I don't mention him. I don't talk about him. What strain is that on you, Claire?
I want to know how you are.
You don't come around to our house anymore?
Because I can't stand being around your son.
I can't believe you just said that.
And the sister, I think, I just can't talk to you anymore. I just can't deal with you. And those are what really happened. You got the people who want to pour advice on, saying, oh, just get over it, or you really need to do this to get on with your life. Nobody really understands that the only thing that's going to help is time and just being there. I mean, you can't shoehorn, you know, her back into, you know, mental health. You can't do it. So she's never really had any support all this time. And after about 7 years, I'd say that'd be long enough for her to snap.
You can choose one tonight. Where'd you get this?
On the shelf.
If it's in a word or it's in a look, you can't get rid of the Babadook.
A word of caution. If your child is perpetually afraid of monsters, you might want to scan through a nighttime storybook before reading it to them.
If you're a really clever one and you know what it is to see, then you can make friends with a special one, a friend of you and me.
This doesn't sound so bad.
His name is Mr. Babadook, and this is his book. A rumbling sound, then three sharp knocks. Ba-ba-ba-dook, dook, dook. That's when you'll know he's around. You'll see him if you look.
Haha, the Babadook, he looks so funny, look at him.
This is what he wears on top. He's funny, don't you think? See him in your room at night.
Oh shit, close the book, hurry.
Mom, does it hurt the boy? Mom, does it live under the bed?
Some really disturbing children's stuff. Holy crap. You know, but...
think kind of children's book Stephen Wright would make.
I would love that pop-up book if that was real. They should have made that as a prop from the movie.
Yeah.
I'd have bought that. That was neat. That was a really cool sketch work, but that book was probably more terrifying than any effect in the movie.
And as you can imagine, things just go from bad to worse.
Ah! It's in my brain!
What is...
The Babadook!
Oh, no. No, no, no. This is not going to happen.
Because the doors were closed and now they're wide open.
It's just a book. It can't hurt you.
I don't want anything bad to happen to you, Mom.
Nothing bad's gonna happen, Sam.
I'm gonna protect you.
Even during that phase where you're like, fuck off, kid, he's preparing for what's coming. He's like, I'm going to protect you. When the Babadook comes, I'm going to fucking kill it. He knows that this is happening.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're like, what's going on here?
Well, even the lady next door, he sees things as they really are.
Yeah.
If the Babadook was real, we'd see it right now, wouldn't we?
It wants to scare you first, then you'll see it.
Well, I'm not scared.
You will be when it creeps into your room at night. Will be when it eats your insides.
I've decided you're not having your birthday with Ruby this week. No cake, no games, that's the end of it.
The kid's right, the Babadook does creep into her room that night. Now, if there's any scene in this movie that's gonna make your skin crawl, this is it. And remember, Brian and I had already seen this movie, Nick had not. So just when the scene comes up, Nick pauses the movie and excuses himself to hit the bathroom. Brian and I are looking at each other like, of all the times to pause a film. And you get to be a fly on the wall for that conversation once Nick left the room.
Of all the times he has to pause the damn thing.
This is like right at the tipping point. This part, you know what? I've seen it. I know it's going to happen. And I still don't want to see it.
You're already waked up.
When you and I saw it the first time and the door opened, as soon as that happened, I was like, it was like cardiac arrest. I was like, oh my God!
Who's at the door? Who is it?
Mm. Have you ever had to barricade the door? She's like, this is stupid, but I don't care. Whatever it takes, I'm going back to sleep.
I can't remember the last time I've done that. God bless you for having that much fear in you, though.
Baba.
Execution of the horror element was great. You know, the shadow work and the noise of the thing. And the Babadook itself, when you did see it, the odd time you saw it, is modeled right from, I swear to God, looks like Lon Chaney Sr. Yep. in that lost movie called London After Midnight, yep. yes. where he plays the vampire. Have you ever seen that?
No one's seen it. But I've seen the pictures. I've seen the production stills.
Yeah, it's been lost since the 60s. But if you watch the stills of it, Lon Chaney Sr. had the top hat, the long hair, the big hair. Gaping maw with the needle teeth and the big wide eyes and the long coat.
Yeah.
That was the Babadook.
So the Babadook in this, it doesn't even sound like a voice. It sounds like air being squeezed out of something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't even sound like it's forming words. It's just making noise. I mean, they got the sound perfect. I mean, to do a creepy voice, you walk a fine line. You do it too much and it becomes silly. Or becomes over the top. You don't do it enough and it doesn't sound threatening. But they hit that note perfect. They must have gone through, I don't know how, I would love to see the making of this to see how many different sound effects, how much they tweaked that sound until they must have had like test audiences. They must have played it for the cast and crew and said, okay, which one of these really freaks you out? Because they got it right on.
So the Babadook pays Mom a visit, but then it's gone. What was it? A dream? Is it real? Are they plagued by some supernatural force? A smart script keeps you guessing, and at this point, you are still asking these questions. What we do know is the Babadook book that Amelia has torn up and thrown out is about to come back to her, all stitched back together.
I want to report someone stalking me and my child.
Can you tell us what happened?
Somebody sent me a children's book. And it contained violent and graphic images of my child and me being murdered.
Can we have a look at the book, please?
I burnt it.
Here she is going to the police station, and it's utterly worthless. And better still, that wonderful shot over that creepy desk sergeant's shoulder of the coat and hat on the rack in the background, that was just pure genius. I mean, because now you don't, she's really starting to unspool at this point. And you can see that she just, the way she backs away and withdraws, at that point you know there's no more help. They have symbolized, that's it. There's no support coming. Things are only going to get worse from that point on.
He's been making phone calls to me as well.
What's he been saying?
Nothing, just making these noises.
How do you know it's the same person?
Because of what he wrote in the book.
The book you burnt.
Well, I actually took it a slightly different, from a slightly different perspective with the police station thing. Because as soon as she sees, like, you know, basically what appears to be almost like the silhouette of the Babadook in the background, it was right. almost like, they were already looking at her like she was crazy, and that was just a reminder that you are crazy.
Yeah.
If they look into this, they're going to find out. I took it as that's why she recoiled. Yeah. It's kind of like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be talking to these people.
And at this point, the entire movie takes an about face.
This, the only way I can trust you not to embarrass me in front of our neighbors. Is this what I have to do?
I'm sorry, Mummy. It's just that the Babadook made you crash the car and then... I said the Babadook...
The Babadook isn't real, Samuel. It's just something you've made up in your stupid little head.
I just didn't want you to let it in!
I'll make sure nothing gets in tonight. All right, Samuel? Nothing is coming in here tonight. Nothing!
This movie is unbelievably well-paced. I mean, the whole descent into madness, the descent into insomnia, all those elements, they don't jump out at you too quickly, mm-hmm. and they don't develop so quickly that they become laughable or silly. It is well-paced.
This movie is an extremely slow burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it gets to a frantic point, and it does take its time getting there, but I think it has to.
Because if she just snapped overnight and started going crazy, we wouldn't believe it. Not only that, but the transition of going from a solely sympathetic character to a terrifying element can't be done quickly. I mean, it has to take its time.
The Babadook requires patience, and it requires you to be able to look beneath the surface.
Yeah.
If you're not prepared or willing to do that, you're probably going to just snooze this one off.
Yeah.
If you can focus on the characters in the story for 100 minutes and really get immersed into what they're trying to tell you,
right,
it's a fantastic story.
You know, when we start watching it, we don't know if we're just getting the typical background that you need to get in a horror film to like the characters. Like we were saying in Poltergeist, you like that family. You have to get to know that family before you can care about the characters. And it seems on the surface, when you're just watching it, it's that kind of a movie where it's a smart horror film where you just want to get to know these people. You know, little do we know that the whole reason that we want to get to know the mother is that we can feel sympathy for her, that we get to feel for her plight, that she's somebody that we want to see, you know, her life improve, right, and we're rooting for her.
And just when you get that feeling,
yeah,
she turns into this fucking beast, and yeah, you're afraid of her.
And that whole transition of sympathy into terror is what I think gives this movie most of its strength. That we don't know who to trust anymore, and now this person that we felt sorry for is the threatening element. And I don't think I've ever really seen that too often.
I can honestly say, though, I cannot get my wife to watch this movie.
The dog.
The dog.
Okay. Because you
know what, though? I saw the look on my face when she was like...
You know what, though? They give you the precursor. They warn you it's coming.
They warn you. Doesn't matter.
I heard you wince. You gave a little bit of a... Yeah, I heard that. And, yeah, I would hazard any of our listeners, if you're a dog lover, be prepared that there is a scene where that's going to strike a few chords. But, you know, it's all part of the story, and it's not gratuitous, but it is sad. Be prepared.
I like how the book, the myth of the Babadook is just, you know, what we understand of mental illness. When it says, the more you deny, the stronger I get.
Yeah,
it sounds like the rules of a horror story of a supernatural creature, and it's not. It's just sound, you know, mental.
It's a natural phenomenon. Yeah. It's all psychosis.
Yeah.
You know, if you try and suppress me for too long, the pot's going to boil over. You're going to snap. And that's a real danger for a lot of people.
And yet, what a scary concept when told in this format.
Yeah, because you're like, okay, you're looking at it like a monster that's invading you.
Yeah.
And I guess in a way it is. You know, it's invading your mind, and it's gonna change you.
You little pig. 6 years old and you're still wetting yourself. You don't know how many times I wished it was you, not him, that died.
I just want you to be happy.
I just want you to be happy.
You're not my mother.
What did you say?
I said you're not my mother.
I am your mother.
Run, run, run as fast as you can.
I went from zero to hating this kid in 5 minutes. You know, within half an hour, I'd wanted nothing but to fucking slap the kid and put a fucking sock in his mouth. Mm-hmm. By the end of the movie, I'm rooting for this kid.
Yeah.
And that is...
That's hard.
That's a feat, man.
Well, first, because we think the child's going to be the focus of the film, that he's the threat. Because they gear it up that he's unstable, that he's trouble, that he's seeing things, that he's acting out.
Yeah.
And then the tables start to turn, and the transition is really quite interesting, because it's hard to switch on a dime and make somebody who we've been rooting for and felt sorry for this whole movie, to make them terrifying and to make them the threat. I mean, that's rare.
It was was fun watching him use those weapons against her.
Yeah.
When she's full fucking Babadook on him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The dart, the cannon.
Oh, when she does the trip line into the basement, lower ceiling.
He nails her with a cricket bat, too.
So great sounds there, too. Like, the sound work on that is spot on.
And you know what I like is how she wakes up and she's tied down. But she's not tied down like fucking James Bond tied her down. She's tied down like a 7-year-old.
Travels.
Yeah.
You know, she's tied down like a 7-year-old would just willy-nilly just crisscross some rope on her and just fasten it somehow. She got out of that easily.
Yeah, but tied down in such a way that it makes that whole final scene look like they're setting up an exorcism, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, like, okay, we're going to cast the demons out.
No, you don't love me. The Babadook won't let you. But I love you, Mom. And I always will. You let it in! You have to get it out!
A lot of people didn't like the ending. They didn't understand what it was about. And even the book said, listen, you can't get rid of the Babadook. The kid tells her at the end, you can't get rid of the Babadook. Which, you know, you think you won. You puked out all the black and everybody. No. This thing is not going away.
Yeah.
They have to deal with it.
This is my house! You are trespassing in my house! If you touch my son again, I'll fucking kill you!
I also like how the ending, it's not happily ever after.
It's not defeatist either, though.
It's not happily ever after. There is still an issue there, but now they've dealt with it, they know how to deal with it, and they're going to take it almost like an alcoholic, one day at a time.
Yeah. It's certainly, I think, a more uplifting ending than we get in a lot of horror films. And again, like I say, if it had just been that this was an actual supernatural creature, they found out how to defeat it, they defeated it, and they lived, and that was the whole story, this wouldn't have been nearly as good a film.
Yeah. You know, like, the pain and hurt of that loss is always going to be there. If you lose somebody you love tragically, you're never going to forget that.
Yeah.
Well, it's always going to be there, but how you deal with it, how you visit.
People with, like, severe emotional trauma, like, they'll tell you, it's like, yeah, well, they can medicate, or you can go to therapy, you know, well, I live with somebody with a psychological condition, and it doesn't go away. It has its good days, it has its bad, like when you said, how's it today? Well, it was quiet today.
It's quiet.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other days that she'll go down there, and it's probably not going to be very nice.
Yeah.
But she recognizes it for what it is now. It's not going to take over her life.
It's a permanent resident. It has a room in the house.
He's been out of school over 2 weeks now. It's time to get back.
We needed some time to sort a few things out. Are you having a party?
It's Sam's birthday today.
My first birthday I've ever celebrated.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. My first party on the day.
That's unusual. My husband died the day that Sam was born.
He got killed driving Mum to the hospital to have me.
Sam's just like his dad was. Always speaks his mind.
Shall we score it? Brian Stewart.
Well, you know, it's going to be a generous score for me. For me, it's a 10.
Really?
It is, because I can't pull anything out of this. I can't say what I would do to make this any better. For me, it's a smart film, well-written, amazing performances. It's terrifying in parts. And, like I say, it has more to say than just good versus evil or the survival of a supernatural attack.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mom and Dad, life is not always as it seems. It can be a wondrous thing, but it can also be very treacherous.
I'm going to give it a 9.5.
9.5? Wow. Yeah.
No, I did. I did really enjoy it. I can honestly get why it would be a polarizing. Because if you look at, if people are watching it, and if up until that point you don't get the mental illness thing, and you take it from the perspective of this is a legitimate monster, this is a supernatural thing that's happening, you know, she was possessed, blah, blah, blah. The ending, if you're looking at it from that perspective, fucking blows. the only people that are witnessing this shit happening are a mentally ill woman and a 6-year-old child. Yeah. These are not reliable witnesses.
No.
Nothing ever happens to anybody else.
Yeah.
The truth is, he's so disobedient, he can't go to school anymore.
You said that's not true!
How many 6-year-old boys do you know, Robbie, who still believe in monsters?
I hate you! She won't let me have a birthday party, and she won't let me have a dad!
I would give it a 9.5. You know, it's not perfect. It's a great film. I enjoyed it the second time around. And these days, for a movie to be made within the last 5 years that I want to watch a second time and still enjoy it just as much is rare. So yeah, if you're up for a thinker, something that's going to freak you out, something that's going to pull on your strings, and it's and it's going to take you for a ride. You are going to find your psyche in a pendulum swing. You're going to swing to kill him. You want to kill this kid to wanting to champion this kid. You know, you're going to feel sorry for the mom, and you want to hate this kid, and an hour later, that pendulum's going to swing, and you're going to wonder, how the fuck did we get here? It's brilliant.
Did they really kill the wolf, Mom?
I'm sure they did.
I'll kill the monster when it comes. I'll smash its head in.
It's time to go to sleep now, sweetie. It's very late.
Can we read it again?
The Babadook is Jennifer Kent's first full-length feature film that she directed. It stars Noah Wiseman and Essie Davis. Jennifer was very keen not to submit Noah to a lot of the darker elements in the film. Whenever Essie's character treated Sam badly, he was never even in the room to witness these outbursts. Jennifer was quoted as saying, "I didn't want to destroy a childhood to make this film." And do you remember this part earlier in the show?
And I have a feeling the next horror person to go will probably be Christopher Lee.
And wouldn't you know it, as we're putting this show together, Sir Christopher Lee passes away at 93. An extraordinary actor who was in over 250 films, a World War II veteran, a theater actor, his contribution to the horror genre could only be rivaled by other greats who had long since passed on, like Vincent Price or Boris Karloff. Throughout his entire life, he graciously never retired.
It is my life, and as long as people will offer me work that interests me, that appeals to me, as long as there is a story which I think is a good one, there's a good director and a good cast, and as long as there's a character that I think is worth playing and I can make a proper contribution to the story by playing that character, I will do it as long as I'm physically able to do so.
Sir Lee's passing has really shook us up here, and the reaction online has been extraordinarily moving. This was a man who was scaring my grandparents, and then my parents, and then my generation decades later as we realized his iconic roles like Dracula, Frankenstein, Rasputin, Fu Manchu, the list goes on, and I would very much like to focus on this man in our next show coming up. Until then, we hope you check out The Babadook. It's really worth your time. For world-famous Brian Stewart and the cult sensation Nick McPherson, this is Cash Wampum saying thank you for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.